I'd like to start with a brief devotion. This is a opening that C.F.W. Walther, our first synodical president, used in the beginning of a voters' assembly once. Who truly seeks the Lord, he does what's right indeed. Whoever's found the Lord will even more succeed. Who holds and clings to Jesus is further out of need. Yet Christ has more than all those three. Walther says, a simple Christian who long ago, I hope, has gazed upon the face of Christ recited me this little verse many long years ago, and I not only picked it, but able to forget it. So you might take note of it yourselves. It will do you some good. So I will review it with you once more. Bear in mind, seeking and finding Jesus is easy. For Jesus is everywhere we hear and read his word, or where we discuss it and meditate upon it. Holding fast to Jesus is even harder, for when some of his sins heavily assail him and enters one's heart, it can easily happen that a Christian lets go of Jesus again. But it is most difficult to remain by Jesus, for as soon as someone forsakes the world and clings to Jesus, the evil foe makes his plans to once again tear him away from Jesus. He is always sneaking after those who love Jesus, shooting thoughts of disbelief or doubt into his heart. Satan also employs the world, his beloved bride, to make the Christian stumble, to either bring him to fall away by mocking and ridiculing him, or to entice him back to herself through her sweet seductions. And indeed, the greatest difficulty for us when we have found Jesus and our sins are forgiven is that original sin that still remains in us, from which the poisonous waters of actual sins pour out of us like out of a poisonous fountain. It turns our hearts into a field that is not yet clean, upon which therefore the weeds of sinful thoughts, sinful lusts, sinful attitudes, sinful words, and sinful works spring up. If you have found Jesus, then you certainly also daily experience this. That means there is a great danger that a person will not remain by Jesus and might lose Jesus again. So what can you do about that? First, you must despair of your own abilities, for by might of ours can not be done. The first chief means is diligent use of God's word. The second chief means is prayer. The third chief means is keeping watch over your heart and over all your walk and ways. As often as you think sinful thoughts, you must not do as Eve did, who looked at the forbidden tree and saw that it would be good to eat and lovely to look upon. You must also not act as Peter did, who consorted with the enemies of Christ. No, then you must act as Joseph, who fled before his temptress and said to her, "How can I do such great evil and sin against my God?" So as often as you are tempted by sin, whether it be to pride or to deception or to lying or vengeance, to sexual immorality or the like, you must immediately remember a Bible passage that forbids that sin, and then quickly run to Jesus, lament to him about your sinful corruption, and say to him, "Oh, how unhappy are those who are overtaken. Oh, how blessed is the man if he has overcome it." So one more time I cry out to you this little verse. Who truly seeks the Lord, he does what's right indeed. Whoever's found the Lord will even more succeed. Who holds and clings to Jesus is further out of need. Yet he who remains in Christ has more than all those three. God help you and us all in this, for the sake of his eternal mercy. Amen. Just by way of introduction, we'd like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Bearwolf for being here, our principal and teacher, and Mr. Vassis from the Board of Elders, and Mr. Claybush, who is the chairman of the Board of Education. Thank you very much for your service, as well as being a parent. And I hope you all know each other besides that. Those are the honored dignitaries. We're very sorry we're doing this so late in the year. The last time we had a meeting like this was 2 years ago, and that was in March. And as I was thinking as pastor in January, how nice it was that Easter was so late in the year, because it would allow so much time. It's actually worked out to be just the opposite. It really crowded the end of the year quite a bit, Easter being so late. Last time we did this, it was in March, and now it's June, so I do apologize for the lateness of this activity. The reason is that every year there's a committee in the congregation that we call the MiGs committee, and a MiG is not a Russian fighter jet. A MiG stands for Members in Good Standings. And one of the handouts that you have, or the handout I gave you so far on the backside, is a reprint from the Constitution of Emmanuel Church. What constitutes a member in good standing, and what that entails as far as what a member in good standing does. And we've developed the term MIGS and the MIGS program out of concerns that the school has had for a number of years. We began the program in 2006, which I guess is about 8 years ago now, as we were looking as church and school with some problems in the school, some perceived problems, waning enrollment, and certain policies that we had in the school, and things were sort of slipping, and so we wanted to take as a spiritual basis an examination of what a congregation and what a school is according to God's word, and then to share that information with the parents, with the church, and with the leadership, so that we could all be on the same page as far as the goals of the school. And there are education goals that parents have for children, and they are important. The education of our children to make them better citizens and productive workers in our society is a very important goal, but that's a goal that's also taken care of to a greater or lesser extent in the public school system. The church has another main goal as far as Christian education is concerned, and that is to take baptized children, especially in her congregation, and to bring them up with the Word of God. We run under the Great Commission of our Lord in Matthew 28. We are commanded to baptize, and most of our kids are baptized as infants before they come to the school. And then the school is also then to, as Jesus says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And those commands of Jesus are relative to the Christian life. And the most important commands of Christ are to receive preaching and his word, which is God's way of feeding our souls and saving our souls, receiving the absolution that Christ has commanded to give within the church. And as Jesus said, or as the epistle of 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. And of course, then the sacrament that our children receive after confirmation, which is the Lord's Supper. Those are commanded by the Lord and are constitutive of the church, which means when we listen to the commands of Jesus, we understand he commands us to confess our sin and to receive forgiveness from the church, because that's the church's job. And that's called sanctification. It's God, Christ, giving us his forgiveness and righteousness. And it's necessary for salvation, because without being dressed in the righteousness of Christ, all the education and even doctoral degrees that we might have do us no good on the last day. It is the righteousness of Christ that we receive through lifelong participation in the church. And Christ does not say in Revelation 2, be ye faithful until you're confirmed, and I will give you the crown of life. But ye be ye faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And so, inasmuch in 2006 as we had strayed from that central concern sort of wandered off into side issues, it was our desire at that time to coalesce everyone's mind and heart on the purpose of our school and Christian education, meaning lifelong membership within the church. And there were some things that were going on that mitigated against that. And so we raised those issues. During that study, though, and that 2006 paper that I had produced and presented to the leadership and then to the people in general is on my website, Mark 5 Publications, under the theological papers, if anyone is interested in looking it up. But during that study, we looked at the role of parents and teachers. And the school is actually, although they are part of the church, is covenanted with parents. The task is to raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so even legally, if you talk to a lawyer, they will say that the teacher in the classroom is en loco parentes, which is Latin for the local parent, the parent at that location. And so part of our study was the importance of being in a good partnership with parents, and that we were not unequally yoked, but that parents and teachers and church were all on the same page as far as the purpose of the church and being consistent with each other in what we're teaching the children. Now, during that, the church gave historically a strong commitment to parents, and I as a pastor did too. Part of the reason I accepted the call at Emmanuel was because I had three kids of grade school age, and I wanted my kids to go to the Lutheran grade school and have the same benefits that I had growing up. And so that was a strong emphasis for my coming here. And I am still a supporter of Lutheran education by all means. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for others, and especially for the next generation. So the emphasis on educating children has to be first and foremost in the heart of a Christian congregation. And looking down the road and looking at the trends, what we said even back then is if the school would ever become unviable, in other words, it was untenable or unpractical to have a school, we would still support our parents by helping them with tuition at another school. So another Christian school, not some atheistic academy. So I'm just giving you the history of how we got to our programs. Now, let me appraise you of some of the historical concerns. Part of the problem that we've seen in the history, and when I say this, I'm painting a very broad brushstroke. I'm not saying this was true of all parents or of all families, but a problem that was recognizable enough that you could see it happening, and it wasn't something that we could ignore. Part of it is a philosophy on the part of parents of the role of the school overtaking that of church. That their involvement in their own minds was to educate their children in the school, and the church was of much lesser importance. And so I can think of conversations that I had with parents at the high school. You know, we have to sign a card to tell the school that the church is going to support them for part of their tuition. And the student and the family would not be a regular church attendance. And I would make that as a requirement and say that that's an expectation. And it was clear all they wanted was the money, because they didn't come to church. Otherwise, I can't imagine what our relationship was with them, because all we did was give them money. They did not receive the means of grace. Now, it's not all about money, but it's about abusing the church in hypocrisy. Do parents that want the school for their children, but not the church, not lifelong involvement in the church, are they believers or not? There's reason to believe they're not. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And do we have a responsibility to tell them that that's not right? If we care about those parents, we need to flag that and to say that that's not right. They're heading off to the wrong road. And so, even in recent history, there are cases where kids were getting support at the high school and their families were involved. And as soon as they were graduated from the high school, bye. And again, that's the frustration of the church. And again, it's not about the money, but it's about the Lord and faith in the Lord. Now, in the history then, we try to, many tacks at trying to deal with that in parents. In a certain history of the school, we required so many times going to church during the quarter. And, you know, we've got those attendant books, and people were expected to fill out the books. And we had cases where parents would say, how many more times do we have to go this quarter in order to fulfill it. I'm telling you the truth. You're looking at me like I'm making things up. But that's true. But that's what happens when you start making legalisms. When you start setting rules, people will go up to the rule. But that's not the intent of the Christian church. The Christian church is, I want to come to church in order to hear God's word. That's the definition of a Christian. And so that's when we, in the mixed program, went to these criteria that our Constitution lays out. And we also then went to the tuition breakdowns that you have on the other side. And you'll notice that we have a registration fee that everyone pays. Forgive the dates on there. I should tell the Board of Ed, this is listed on our program as the 2013-2014 tuition rates, but the handout says 2010-11, which means we haven't raised our prices. But you'll notice that we've got members in good standings pay no tuition. Okay? And what we're saying by that, what we said to them, is that God wants you to support the program of the church. And that's not just the school, but that's the whole church. And we don't want you to think about paying tuition and then, after your children graduate, no longer supporting the program of the church. That's teaching the children the wrong thing. And it teaches them, when you graduate or when you're confirmed, you have graduated from the church. And that's what we're trying to get away from. So members in good standing, by these criteria, pay no tuition. And what we told people in the beginning and what we want to repeat each year is that it still costs something for your children to be educated. It doesn't cost us any less because you're a member in good standing. It still costs the same. However, now, instead of paying a tuition for your child to come to school, you can put your offering in the offering basket and get a tax deduction for it. And you can think of it now as supporting the church and not just the school, although you're certainly supporting the school through that. Okay, so members in good standing pay a registration fee and no tuition. Members not in good standing have a diminished tuition. Originally, we said we were going to try to do discipline with members not in good standing and put them under discipline. We haven't followed through with that. But right now, we've got some people that would rather pay the tuition than come to church. So,
by discipline, you mean church discipline, or you mean
church discipline?
So we not have been subjected, or not apply to congregation, not apply to church discipline, but
yeah, we've designated them as non, and some, frankly, might not fall under church discipline. They're not that infrequent.
Right. But we are collected.
Yeah. And then there's another price for non-members. And if you look at the prices, members not in good standing is about $2,800. Members of other Lutheran churches about a little less than 3,200, and non-members is almost $4,000. And you should be aware in the accreditation study, the accreditation committee came up with our cost per student something around $13,600. So nobody is paying what it costs to educate the children in our congregation. But the congregation, because they love the children and they love you as their brothers and sisters, are supporting you to that amount. And again, we love that. And don't get into a public school mentality and think that the education doesn't cost anything. Public education costs you nothing because they distribute it over hundreds of thousands of people. People are sacrificially giving to the church in order for the kids to have this benefit. Kim? Okay, so that's on tuition. So part of the evaluation is your contributions, and we don't share the amount that you contributed last year, but one person from our committee looked at your giving records and put a number down of what you gave and put it there, and if we assume that it's in the percent level, which means it's at least what we think is 1% or 2% or some intentional giving, then you passed and you're in MIGS. If you didn't, then you were flagged and you're going to have to talk to the pastor about it. He's bigger than any of you. So we look at church attendance, which is part of the MIGS criteria. We look at Sunday school attendance and Bible study attendance for the parents, and we look at the giving. And again, the purpose is to be in partnership with the parents, and the parents are teaching the children by this how a Christian lives. You know, they're going to grow up someday and be adults, but we're all still children of God. We're all still children of God. We still come to his house and get the handouts from his table that we need to live spiritually. And we need to teach our children that and the importance of lifelong reception of that grace in Christ. Okay, so any questions about the current MIGS program or the policy, why we have the policies? And yes.
Listening to what the pastor just said, I want to emphasize that the MIGS committee is most concerned with whether the members receive the means of grace, whether they hear the word, and whether they partake in the communion and the rest of the stuff. We want sanctification to occur. We don't want a dead member. So we're going to be more harder on someone that doesn't attend church and has no thirst for the word and no thirst for forgiveness and communion versus someone that might not hit the mark as far as their givings. We understand that there's the guideline with respect to tuition. And a person's ability to give are two different things. If a person has a job where he makes a couple hundred thousand a year, okay, and doesn't hit these marks, then we're a little concerned. But the biggest thing we're concerned about is whether you hear, whether you participate in receiving the money. And I just wanted to emphasize.
Thank you. Well, nothing takes our heart off of money than having our heart on the Lord. Because those two just don't work together. So when we have our heart on the Lord, that frees us to be more generous. And the cause is Jesus. And if we're not getting the cause, which is Jesus, we aren't going to get any of the effects.
Yeah, so we don't want you to walk out of here and think, basically wants money. That's a side effect of what we want. Obviously, we don't want you to not give a penny, but we want you to hear the word. Like Pastor said, you hear the word, you will give. Whatever you
have. Although, my parents talk about when I was growing up in the 60s all the time, and they said when they had meetings like that either the pastor or stewardship person or someone would say, it costs $1,500 to educate your child. You should be putting $1,500 into the offering plate. Now, if I were to come and tell you that would be ridiculous. But consider the benefit, consider the love of people supporting you, and consider that you want to also support that as something that's noble and good for your family, and to make it a priority. Is that? Okay. Overall, what we're trying to do with the program is to shift some thoughts. We want to shift the thought of paying a tuition or paying for the school to offering support for the mission of the church. That's what happens when it comes into the unified budget. And certainly the school gets supported through that in a very generous way. But to think of lifelong support for the mission of the church rather than paying for a year of tuition for the child. Also, we want to promote the idea of lifelong learning in God's Word, that we are all children and growing in faith until we reach the stature of Christ, St. Paul says in Ephesians 5. And that's why I'm still studying. I'm not quite as tall as Christ in my learning yet. In fact, I'm pretty far away from there. So we're all growing, and we grow until we reach the stature and fullness at Christ's second coming. So we want to go from an idea of learning is for children, or something we graduate from, to something that we continue to do throughout our lives, and to teach our children that way. And to shift the idea of being supported by others. And that's what children are, basically. They're completely supported by others, to becoming Christians who are generous in the Lord, and not only wanting to be supported ourselves, but others. Because we all have gifts that we are to share and minister to each other. So those are the goals. Any questions? The second part is, I have an envelope for each of you, and your names are on the return on the envelopes. There are two sheets of paper in here. The one is an evaluation form that has sort of a summary and a description of the program, your family name, and then church attendance and statistics from January 1 to December 31st, 2013. And then there's your name, church, and communion attendance. You'll have a raw number. Bible study, the Bible study number is not accurate because I didn't have the summer intergenerational figures in front of me. So don't worry about the numbers. But in the box with the question mark, an okay means okay. And if it's a dash or a note, you should see the pastor, and we'll discuss and try to help you. And then the contributions are in the last box. Okay? So there's that. And the other thing in the envelope is a parental commitment questionnaire. And I'd like you to sort of take a minute to look at the first sheet first, and then we'll go over together the survey.
I never mentioned the evangelistic scholarship either. I think some of you were evangelistic scholarships last year, so we didn't have any answers. Consider this an education for you so you understand the program.
And may I say, just from the sections that I looked at, we've never done a MIGS evaluation that was as good as this year's. You know, I commend you all. I think you've all done a pretty good job, at least on what I saw in church and Sunday school. Any questions or anything from that sheet? Yeah. Again, we don't have real accurate records, but I think the highest were like in the upper 50s. Well, I said, the best attendance, the every week attendances were around 60. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And you know, I think most people were in the 40s, which I think was reasonably every week, almost every week. That's pretty good. Okay, and if anyone wants to talk to me or anyone else on the MIGS committee, just set up some time. And again, we're not looking to get mean or tough with anyone, but maybe just some education or to talk about the principles involved in anything that may look like perhaps something that's not quite there. So. I'm sorry.
Did you say circle the okay? If there's an okay?
If you have an okay in the question mark, it means you're okay.
Okay.
You have MIGS status. You have satisfied the requirements that we were putting upon that category. You don't have to hand that back. That's yours to keep. The other one, the parental commitment questionnaire, is one that we would like you to return in the envelope that you have. And it says on the envelope, completed survey, please return to Pastor Baisley by June 6th, which is the last day of school on Friday. Again, I don't want to raise any red flags as if Emmanuel is by this survey saying, we're going to shut down the school. All that we're doing by this is communicating to the parents that our having a school is very much key to your commitment to sending your kids to the school. And we will support your commitment to sending the kids. We've had a few families decide to go to another school, another Christian school in the area. And that's one reason why the board wants to hear this commitment on the part of the parents this year. So again, I apologize for the timing. Maybe just to read through this. Emmanuel Lutheran School has proven her commitment to Christian education both by establishing a certified school, preschool through 8 grades, but also by maintaining that instruction with a dwindling student base. In the current school year, the congregation is supporting the school in the amount of over $13,600 per student, about half of which are members. That's $27,000 per Emmanuel member student. We are also aware that at least 3 member families who are sending their children to Guardian Lutheran School, one of which families has transferred membership, citing the desirability of the neighboring school as their reason, while preferring Emmanuel as a congregation. While the congregation has shown her support for the school in a very generous way, the congregational support of the school is useless if parents do not want to use our school. Over the years, the congregation leadership and voters assembly have entertained the idea of supporting our member families with tuition for other area Christian schools should our school become non-viable. This survey is meant to test parental commitment to sending children to Emmanuel. If it is determined that parents prefer or are indifferent to sending their children to a different school than Emmanuel, it may be determined that we can more effectively support our MIGS parents by supplementing their tuition at another school. If parents see our school and its program as invaluable or advantageous for their children, the congregation will most certainly continue to support their children's education, but will also ask parents to remember the financial burden the congregation is incurring and the benefit their family is thereby receiving, and to step up their own financial support for the program at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. Okay, so the survey is 4 questions and then a 5th question, which is open-ended. Vi. I have an envelope for you. That's quite all right. Yes. Yeah, why don't you fill it out pretending you have a kid here? We value your input. And we know what a good supporter you'll be too. So by all means, put your survey in. The first question, Emmanuel School's class size and program offer my children or child a program and atmosphere that he or she needs. Strongly agree would be a 5, strongly disagree would be a 1, and neutral would be a 3. Now, you don't have to fill this out now. If you want to discuss it as a family and turn it in on the 6th, that'd be fine. Number 2, I would rather send my children to a different Lutheran school with more students, classes, and extracurriculars. Strongly agree, strongly disagree, or neutral. 3, if Emmanuel gave MIGS parents tuition assistance at another school, I would retain membership at Emmanuel rather than transferring to the other congregation. And four, if Emmanuel no longer maintained a Christian day school, she would lose a vital avenue for confessing the gospel. And, you know, you have students and have to answer the rest of those, even you, Ms. Coomer. But I have to answer four that I strongly agree with that statement. It is a powerful and wonderful way of confessing the gospel. We have some members of the church that are sitting here because of their interest in the school, and they heard the gospel through that interest. And there are many benefits the church has by having a school that we aren't thankful enough and we don't think about enough. So I'm telling you, I'm a 5 on 4. And then 5, please note on the back of this sheet any thoughts most on your mind about your family's commitment to the program at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School and our present situation vis-a-vis cost versus benefit of our Christian day school. Please sign and date this form. You don't have to sign it. If you give me it in your envelope, that's good enough. Just turn it into the office. It'll get to me. Any questions or any comments that anyone wants to make for general dissemination?
I would like to thank you, Pastor, and the committee for doing this survey for all of us and having meetings and kind of go out with the
Thank you.
Unusual, but still beneficiary.
Thank you so much for your time and your commitment to be at the meeting tonight. That's great.